Hello, ladies. Welcome to Women Words Wisdom, which is a podcast for women over 50 who want to challenge cultural narratives surrounding aging. Let's recognize and celebrate the raw truth behind what we wise women are learning and experiencing. My name is Robin Enright Salcedo, and I'm your host for the podcast. I believe we have a choice in how we face our aging. We can look at it with dread, or we can look at it with curiosity. If you believe that 60 is the new 40, this isn't the right podcast for you. Let's face this head on, and let's talk about the real issues. Let's find a way through it together. In 2010, I began what I thought at the time was my greatest life adventure, a move from Massachusetts to Boulder, Colorado at the age of 51. I loaded up my Subaru, bought my cockapoo, Tigger, a booster seat so he could see out the window, and I pointed my car west to begin my new life. While this was indeed a great life adventure, I've realized that the greatest adventure of my life was something I missed beginning altogether, my journey into older age and the many new doors that opened and new chapters that began. And while my drive to Colorado was meticulously mapped out, this adventure has not been. I'm a storyteller who uses the written word and photography to provide a glimpse of my subjects, so why not create a project that focuses on all the ways we end and begin again during this life phase? So I'm curious, who are you? What are you working on? Who and what inspires you? What royally pisses you off? What new chapters have you begun? I promise to be real with you. No bullshit. It's kind of scary, to be honest, but since I've always made sense of the universe through writing and allowing myself to be vulnerable, I guess I'm willing to risk it. Welcome to Women Words Wisdom. In today's conversation episode, I am so stoked to chat with Susie Lang, a woman I've been following for over a year. Susie is Australian by birth and grew up on a farm in rural South Australia, where she shared one camera with her brothers. This was the beginning of her love and passion for photography. Susie is a professional photographer and a practicing licensed mental health and wellness counselor working in private practice. Susie loves connecting with people. In her words, "I love taking photographs. I come alive. It is my art of connection. As I capture moments in time, I am left with a sense of creative fulfillment. The connections, the photographs, simple in their own beauty, tell your story." I was compelled to reach out to Susie, who is based in New York, because of her photography project, Women 60 Plus. After exploring her beautiful portraits on Instagram, where she features her work with older women, I knew I had to meet her someday, and in fact, messaged her when I excitedly discovered she was on a shoot in Denver. Unfortunately, she had just left. I knew when I began our stories today, the sister project to Women Words Wisdom, that I was not the only woman with a desire to give voice to women as they aged. But I didn't know that there was someone out there who had a similar perspective on how to go about it using photography. I am so excited to introduce Susie to you and encourage you to follow her extraordinary work at susielang.com and on Instagram at women60plus. Welcome, Susie. Before we jump right in, I have to tell you that when I work on a portrait project, I feel very similar. That's why I had to read that, your own words. I feel honored and blessed and just, I feel like I'm a special person to be able to work as a photographer and gain the trust of others. So I cannot tell you how excited I am to pick your brain on all of this. So I did think that one of the first things I'd like for our listeners to hear a little bit more about is you, obviously, you share that you were, you grew up in South Australia. Tell me a little bit about that and sharing your camera. And then I want to know what brought you to the United States.
Wow. Well, hello, Robin, and thank you. I feel such a privilege to be here today because, you know, I growing up on a farm in South Australia, it's pretty isolated, and so that most people on the farm were men and boys, And so I did not have a lot of interactions with girls / women. Of course, there was my mother and a few other sort of women in my life there. But I remember that my father, who is a farmer, brought one camera because he was very interested in boat racing. And I guess he thought that if he bought a camera for his boat racing, one of us could take pictures of him doing that. And as it happened, it turned out to be me. The boys weren't very interested in using the camera at all. And so I thought, wow, this is pretty cool. I'll take it and use it and have it attached to my hip and take it to boarding school and use it there. But when I was at home on the property, we had to work on the property. And so what I did was work to pay for the film. And then pay for the film and then get it processed. And, you know, you get 36 rolls, you know, 36 shots and get that processed. So that was the start. And I think that I must have been, oh, my gosh, probably about 10. So I've been with a camera on my hip for over 50 years.
Wow.
Wow. Yes.
I just wish I could catch up. As you know, I just started really doing this two years ago, and you get so much with all of the mileage over time.
Yeah. I'm still learning today. It's been remarkable. And in fact, just since COVID and when I came back to New York from being away from New York when the sort of pandemic was very hot here, I started out taking again women 60 plus portraits in mid-September, and I'm thinking, oh wow, I'm making so many mistakes. So both shoots that I've done so far, I've had to say to the women, can I just come back and do a few more, because I wasn't happy with what I was doing. It's an ongoing learning process for me.
It's a wonderful thing to hear, because I've done that as well. And I wondered, is it just because I think also, and as we talk about this, I think this will come up more, but as we're taking pictures of especially women, but I feel, you know, also with the other portrait work that I'm doing, I feel because of the trust that's been placed in me that if I make a mistake or forget, you know, sometimes it's a very simple thing, like someone's hand being I didn't pay attention to the hand. I didn't pay attention to the hand. Yeah. I just kind of was like, doo-doo. So it makes me feel better that someone with all of your experience, obviously still has those moments where you want to just get it right.
I so have those moments. I kick myself and I say to myself, why wasn't I focusing on that when I'm really just trying to focus on the sort of the facial expression and then, when I take a breath and I scan the whole screen, I think, oh, okay, hands. Because hands are tricky for me. They're hard to place, aren't they?
They're really hard. And a lot of times if you ask someone to place their hands, they look they just don't look right. I mean, I've started doing the shake your hands and then just kind of put them down. And I don't know about you, but with COVID, you know, I used to physically, if it was okay, adjust people, and now it's all verbal, and that's a part of my brain that is just needing a lot more practice.
And pockets are always good too, just by the way, but the thing that I'm learning too is to show, you know, just this is what I'm looking for, and so that's helpful as well.
That does help a lot. So were you always fascinated with photographing human beings, or did you ever segue into other areas of photography that also captured that passion?
I certainly, I love people. You know, I'm a people person, and walking in the streets of New York, there's such a huge variety of people, which I absolutely love, and I can get sidetracked big time. But I think that one of the other things that I love photographing, and I've been doing a lot more in COVID because the riverways don't get COVID. So I'm photographing the reflections in water. And to me, it's very sort of abstract and very beautiful and sort of highly edited. And that, so I love doing that. The other thing, particularly in COVID, has been my love for nature. And so I see that you around your office here, you've got lots of flowers.
Yeah.
And I do that too. And butterflies, you know, I'm captivated by them. So, and I'll run down buildings and, you know, I love like really rusted, derelict buildings. And then you put a woman or a person that I'm photographing in that. So it's a complete contrast contradiction, really. Yeah.
Our style is just, I mean, that's, I love those contrasts. And it's especially when you get, you have a woman who is just very dressed beautifully, and then you have the contrast of that building behind her. And it's interesting too, because I think when, for a while, I wasn't photographing this summer, and not people. I did a few quick porch portraits, you know, the almost like a drive-by photo shoot. And that was very rewarding, but I was like, I need to do it more. I can't just have a little bit. And I'm sure you're the same way. So I'd go into my garden and all the flowers that are up in the, on my walls right now. I mean, I just moved into the studio, so they're not all completely set, but I would get lost looking at one flower, a cosmos, or the ones behind me are teasel weeds, which are apparently very invasive and people hate them. And I find them extraordinarily interesting and full of texture and all of that. So
I love that one over your right shoulder. That's very cool.
That one.
Yeah,
that one. That I love too, because, and it reminded me of the work that we are doing and the fact that that was a flower that was on its way out, and it was so beautiful. I can't tell you how many shots I captured of that one flower.
Yeah.
So what ended up, what brought you, how did you end up here?
In New York. Okay. So, the sort of abridged version of that is that, I had a very bad first marriage. And I was married for 2 years, and a friend of mine in Darwin, where I lived before I left Australia in the 80s, late 80s, said, oh, you should go to London because it's wonderful. Well, she had a wonderful time, and it was, you know, it was difficult and different for me, but the short version of that is that I met my husband 35 years ago, he's from South Africa, and we were living in the UK together for about 25 years. And he was about to retire, and he has two of his three children are living in New York. And they said, hey, Dad, why don't you come and live in New York? And he said, oh, I better check that with Susie. And, of course, I was on the first plane out. But it took us about probably about 2 years to get here, because, you know, they're here. And so in 2004 we did the whole thing about, you know, being here for 90 days and then leaving. You either go to Canada or Mexico or back to Australia or back to the UK. And so we did that, and in 2006 we got our green card. Alec won the lottery, the green card lottery, as a South African. And then we've been here since 2006.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Do you ever go back to Australia?
I've been going back every year. And I was meant to be going back twice this year, but because of COVID, my flights have been cancelled. So very sadly.
It's hard. Yeah, my family is in the Boston area, so get back as often as I can. But every time I come home, I find that I don't know. I just don't know when the next time will be.
How
things go.
Absolutely.
But so, when did you start to work? Because you do have your work as a mental health professional.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you integrate these things? You know, working as a professional photographer, seeing patients, and how do you manage those two very time-consuming
tasks? I always consider myself a part-time girl, and my mental health clients are that, you know, my private practice is part-time. And I always felt that I wanted to offer myself a bit of a creative outlet. And while I can be creative with clients in the therapeutic session, I really, my creative passion was in photography. And I just wanted to say from before is that I'm really antisocial when I'm out with my camera because I can see a picture and I just say, I've got to have that. And if you're walking with me, I just stop and take pictures. My friends and family understand that. So I just figured that I wanted to be able to use photography in my counselling work, but I wasn't quite sure how, and I didn't know what population to work with, and I couldn't really ask my counselling clients, can I take a picture, because right. That was, you know, huge boundary issues. So I came upon the idea in 2017, about 2015 I started thinking, how can I incorporate both of them together? And it was when I was in a water aerobics class in my building here in New York, and there was a conversation about the sort of upcoming presidential election in 2016, and you know, lots of things about women in politics and women in life, and you know, all of that. And I noticed that I became really quiet, and I thought, wow, what's going on here mm-hmm. for me? And so I began to really explore about what I wanted for myself and how I could perhaps make a difference to what I felt was the world, really. But, you know, I'll go into that later. But I just felt that's my women over 60, because I'm now in that age bracket, mm-hmm. was the avenue that I wanted to go, because often women – well, you're working with women over 50, I'm with women over 60, there is a thing about being, feeling invisible, mm-hmm. under-recognized, under, you know, just sort of under everything. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to make a difference, and as it turned out, I wanted to make a difference for myself. And what I was really surprised at is that how many other women felt the same. Mm-hmm. So I thought, okay, so this seems good. So, of course, I've got a lot of family pictures of all the women in my family who are over 60. And my first day out on this project was Easter Sunday in New York City, when there's a magnificent bonnet parade. And so I went out with about 100 flyers, and I printed this thing out, and off I went out to Fifth Avenue, where it's closed off with this exquisite parade. And the first woman that I came across, I just handed her my flyer, and she said, oh, that's lovely, thank you very much, but I am traveling with my own photographer today. I said, oh, that's fine. I'm not going to step on his toes, and he is himself a very good photographer, and anyway she said, I'll take your flyer, and she put it in her pocket. Anyway, damn me, that later that night she emailed me and said, I'd love to be in your project. And so that was really the start of it, before I turned 60, but, you know, it was only a couple of months before I turned 60. And, you know, she's a big Instagram influencer, and you know, I've had a lot of following from her and other women in the mm-hmm. you know, in New York about that. So that's how it started, about me wanting to do more with my photography, but I wanted it to feel worthwhile.
Everything you're saying just so resonates, because you know, I turned 61 this year, and I did. I just arbitrarily chose an age. I was like, you can't be 40, because 40 is just, you know, it's got to be 50 and up. And for the exact reasons. And it wasn't until pretty recently that I personally realized that as much as I wanted to help women feel relevant and seen and heard, I was also trying to work on this for myself, because mm-hmm. I had a very, I shouldn't say difficult time. I mean, I still sometimes look in the mirror and I'm like, what happened? Where did I go? But having grown up in a period of time where things that were valued that I just don't value anymore, and it's just such a confusing navigation. And like you with the photography, with women especially, I don't know your experience, but I know when I sit down with someone who I am, you know, getting ready to photograph, at first there's a lot of, I don't like this about myself. I don't like that about myself. I don't know about the, you know, but by the end of an hour-ish, sometimes longer, it's a totally different woman. And that for me is, I feel that is just such a treasure. I feel so blessed that I can witness that someone becomes themselves in their photograph.
Absolutely. So what
when you started doing, I mean, did you immediately know that the project was going to be women 60 plus, or did that evolve just from passing out those flyers, or did you have a plan?
I think it unfolded sort of organically, really. I said to my grandson, who was at the time 15, I said, "Oh, Maxie, I need a name for this project that I'm doing." He said, "Well, what is it about?" And I said, "Well, it's about women over 60." And so we came up with women.60.plus, and it seemed to fit and work, and nobody had taken it. So I thought, "Oh, okay, this is pretty cool." It evolved like that. Now I can't remember the sort of length of your question. So that's what happens to me. I go off to sort of answer part of it. Now I think, yeah, God, what did Robin say? I can't remember.
I was wondering if you had a plan, if you knew that this was what you wanted something to be, or did this just surprise you with, because you have quite a following. And
okay, thank you. So I didn't know what it was going to be. I had no idea what I was most passionate about and continue to be is I love taking portraits. I just love it. And what I say to my husband is that, you know, while he only wants me in his life, I say to him, I love you dearly, but actually I need more than just you. So I need really women who feel there's a sort of connection with women, and, you know, women who sort of can hold and mother and care and that sort of thing. And that's what I want and need for myself. So it sort of evolved from that, and actually to the point where about 2 years into it, I'm thinking, oh, I don't know, this is getting sluggish, and I don't know, I'm feeling a bit bored with that. And then I don't know what, it must have been me saying that to my friend, and she said, well, why don't you change it? And I said, no, I don't want to change it. I just want to be able to photograph different people as well, you know, sort of younger women, younger men, older men, you know, because, you know, men have said to me, well, what about us? You know, we're feeling pretty isolated, and nobody really pays us much attention. And so I thought, well, okay. So I then created population portraits. And then so the women 60 plus, I think, just evolved. And I think the more that I've just sat back and put images out with passion and with, you know, a sense of beautiful imagery, people are beginning to notice. Yeah. And because I went into this because I feared that I was invisible. And you tapped on a point earlier on about, you know, the process of self-evaluation, self-awareness. Mm-hmm. I've learned such a lot about myself, and really is that I can choose. You know, I feel very fortunate that I can choose whether I want to be invisible or visible. It's my choice. That's very empowering, and it's very fulfilling. you know. And yet I was blaming everybody else because I'm over 60. Nobody's paying any attention to me. But actually, was I paying the attention to myself? But, you know, right. I wasn't. And now, you know, now I am a whole lot more.
It's so interesting, too, because that everything you're saying is something I experienced, especially, like I said, with women, you know, over 50. When I hear them talk about themselves when I first meet them in a negative sense, and I'm thinking, you know, this is, I can't bear to hear, you're beautiful. How can you not see what I'm seeing? The sparkle in your eye, that beautiful smile, that way you carry your body. And, but then I realized, oh, I do a fair amount of that myself. So it is so true that I think that's, at least for me, photography has become super empowering as well, because it is a choice of saying, you know, a lot of my friends are retiring or they're preparing for retirement. And I'm thinking, hell no, I have so much more that I want to do and so many other things I want to influence. And the minute I made the choice for myself, things started to come together.
Right.
And, how do you find women? Where do you, I mean, do you now, you've probably now people come to you. You probably don't have to do a heck of a lot.
I wish they did.
I can't believe they don't. Everybody listening in the New York area, my goodness.
and before COVID, I'd travel a lot. So, you know, I was going to be in the UK in the summer. My stepdaughter has learning disabilities and lives in London. So, you know, I go and pick her up and spend time there and then bring her back. And then her sister will take her back. So I had about 6 shoots organised in June of women in the UK, which sadly is postponed, delayed. It will happen, but, you know, sometime soon,
right.
I hope. But I think that, you know, in the beginning of the project, I started just doing it for, you know, because it was a project and I wanted to, I just wanted to be out there taking photographs.
Mm-hmm.
And as it's gone on, I realized the incredible amount of time that it takes. You know, if I put in anything up to 2 hours with a woman, and there's a lot of energy I spend, and I get pretty delightfully wiped out with that. Mm-hmm. But the biggest part of it is editing, and so, you know, I have this whole process. So now I, you know, if women look at my website, susielangphoto.com, there's more information about that, how you can be in touch and all that sort of stuff. But that's my hope. My hope is that women will say, wow, I had such a really good experience, or not. I'm not sure if I've had any of those, of the latter anyway. And that they would tell their friends. Right. And you know, I think that, I think for me, it's really important to sort of own up to the fact that actually this is part of my income now. And you know, I've got the counselling income and I have the photographic income. And, you know, I really got to prepare myself for retirement life when my camera gets too heavy, what am I going to do then? I'll rely on my counselling, but also, you know, just the idea of being able to continue as long as I can and just, you know, be paid for what I'm very passionate about and becoming better at, you know.
Right. As a woman, you just touched upon something that I think is just so, so valuable that for many of us can be challenging, which is receiving payment for what you're worth. It's an awkward conversation. It's, you know, I watch my husband sometimes and I'm just like, why can't I just, it's just, he doesn't, there's no emotion, you know, for him, or does not appear to be baggage brought in. It almost feels like bad manners to say, it's gonna, you know, I have to charge you. Yes, I love what I'm doing, but yeah, there will be a fee.
Right, yeah.
How did that evolution feel for you, taking it from, you know, one to the other?
Well, I realized that how much time I was spending doing that, and I wasn't getting any remuneration about that.
Yeah.
While I was becoming more visible, you know, that to me, I wanted to be able to contribute to the household here, and actually last year I did really well with that because I had some other paid gigs which were good, but certainly for portraits, you know, that people will say, and I've done it myself, but they'll say, "Oh, I can get someone to take it for free," and it's like, I don't want that to happen anymore for me.
Right.
And I'm willing to say, "Well, actually, no. If you can't pay me, then I'm very sorry that I won't be able to do that for you at this time."
Right.
Because, you know, I work hard at what I do.
Yep.
I'm still very passionate about it, and it is one of my jobs, and it's about sort of trying to get a better language and a better training in my head about that. A very interesting example was through Women 60 Plus. There's a London jewellery designer. His name is Jian Hu in London, and he does beautiful necklaces, and he's done the vote masks and vote necklaces. And he said to me he'd love me to model that. So that's another experience, which is a new one for me, being on the other side of the camera.
Yeah.
But he said, I'm going to create these beautiful necklaces for some of the fashionistas in New York. And he said, well, what would you charge? I thought, oh, God, no, now I've got to say, uh-oh. So I sort of came up with a price that was a third under what I would have, you know, perhaps charged someone that I didn't know. And then I, you know, I thought, wow, and I looked at the comparisons about how much it would be to have a portrait session, a regular portrait session, not a Women 60 Plus, because that's, half the price. But and then I quoted him some ridiculously low amount, and I looked at those two figures and I said, that is ridiculous, Susan, I say to myself. and then Alec and I talked about it, and so we came up with a figure that was, you know, was good for me because he's got a lot of, big following, and that was because he's given me jewellery, so I can't. So it was about just saying it, but I was so nervous to say.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you know, I'm going to ask for this amount, and he's going to say, oh, that's too much. But actually he said, that's fantastic. Thank you very much. I'm going to book you.
And I think
so it was very, very liberating that.
I think we have to put that in our head more, because I think as women in particular, I think that when we're able to do that, I think the self-respect that we, you know, give ourselves comes out. And most people, I mean, unless we're trying to really, you know, way overcharge, which I'm sure you don't, and I know I don't, we deserve to be paid for the value we provide. And, but photography, like a lot of art forms, is challenging, because
yes,
you will have some people say, oh, I could just get someone to take a picture on my iPhone. And I agree with you. And it's like, then that's fine. Then that's what you can do. If you work with me, you get X, Y, and Z that you don't get otherwise, especially you get some professional guidance. There's something that you said too. This is a question that I know I struggle with. I obviously, you know, as we all start out in any business, we eventually have friends that know we are in business doing whatever it is, whatever product we're providing or service we're providing. And I know for me, it's hard sometimes because I want to discount friends. And then I think about it, and I think, and it's not because they can't afford it. I just, it's a very, I think the relationship thing is complicated. Did you ever experience any of that? Or
All the time.
That makes me feel better.
But you know, I do have a friends and family, right? And I think it's, you know, that these people in my life are important, and you know, as I said before, I hope that people will say, oh, you know, get Susie Lane to photograph. She's really good at, you know, connecting, mm-hmm. and it's really about the connection that I as a photographer can make with you as the sitter.
Right.
And I always, so just what happens to me, and this has only happened as I've grown up, now 63, is that I have a felt sense in my body when I know I've got a good picture, and I get goosebumps.
Yeah.
I get the goosebumps and it's just so exciting. I love it. It goes back to the idea of what you're talking about, you know, about friends and family and being a woman and asking too much, or, you know, so it's new territory because, you know, a lot of us, I'm pretty sure, you know, we have been the home carers and the keepers and, you know, haven't, you know, sort of Western society, a lot of women haven't had to think, you know, income. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's certainly a lot who are now, but certainly for me, I had not. So it's a real learning thing. And, and of course, growing up with all those boys in my family, they were super protective of me and would give me a bloody good punch if I needed it. But you know, it's what was instilled in me, and I'm trying to make a difference for myself in saying, okay, I need to now claim that women 60 plus, I'm going to charge you for this.
Right.
But you'll get an amazing portfolio of images of you.
Right.
And that you can do whatever you like with, you know, as long as you sort of refer to me and that sort of thing. So.
Well, when you come to the Denver area, we are making a date as I told you the other day, I really need, I need to get some of my own pictures. I think we're beyond where I sit down, tell my husband what to do. I need professional work too.
Yeah.
What is your process when you work with subjects? How do you begin your process? And it may be something that can't even be articulated because I don't know if I could do it for myself, but how, when you start, I'll start this way. So when I begin, before I start a photo shoot, and I'm the same way with a couple of other things that I'm really passionate about, I'm sick to my stomach. I am always sick to my stomach. And there's been no reason for that, but I'm always thinking, what if it, you know, what if this doesn't go right? What if that doesn't go right? And then once I start shooting, it's gone. It's just gone. And I've learned that for me anyway, a lot of the initial photos are really toss-aways. Very rarely does something happen immediately.
Mm-hmm.
It's as people start to relax through conversation. And and I work on my own. I don't know if you have assistance, but it can be challenging sometimes. I'm talking and I'm shooting, and if I'm not paying attention, oh, there goes the camera. You know, it's a little bit of a wiggle. But what do you have a process, or is it individual per, you know, photo shoot, or how do you approach it? I guess.
So my process is that I too get butterflies every single time. And what I'm learning and have learned is that I'm just trusting that I've done this before, and once I'm in the saddle, so to speak, because I used to ride, once I'm in the saddle and once I've got my camera there and I start taking a few pictures and I'm just talking as I'm shooting, it just tends to flow. Two examples I want to give you is that some years ago I've photographed Mary Ellen, who is an 80-year-old woman, and she was very nervous and a little unsure about this whole process. And so for about 45 minutes, we drank water. it was a really hot day, and she lived in, you know, up in the sky in New York. And then so then comes the time of taking the picture. So it was very stiff, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I come out about, you know, just sort of saying, oh my God, you know, look here, look there. And that's something that I've learned, that women like to be directed in that. Mm-hmm. And that's a new thing. I found it very difficult to do that, but I'm getting better at that. And so then after, you know, after about half an hour, I said, well, you know, have you got a hat or something? Have you got some artwork? And you know, just sort of and following her around with a camera. And then we went outside, and she had a hoodie, and she was, you know, putting the hoodie on, and, you know, just listening to her story, which was, you know, just really delightful. So that was Mary Ellen back in 2017. Last week I photographed Mary Jane, and we sat on her stoop in New York City, and we shot for about, I don't know, half an hour, maybe 45 minutes tops, and so we're just chatting along the way. I don't know, just a little bit about her, a little bit about me, you know, chat, women in our 60s, chat.
It's, you know, it's so interesting to me. It's, you know, I don't, you know, I know there's fantastic male photographers out there, but what I'm learning in this process is that, to me, is what makes the whole thing, you know, that's why when I read your bio, what you say on your website, is that connection that, I mean, I've you know, seen other gentlemen, and again, I don't, if you're a guy and you're listening, I am not faulting you. It's just that there is something, you know, just sitting down and having someone go click, they're not going to get me. They might get a beautiful picture, you know, it might be technically accurate and all of those other things, but it may not be me. And something tells me if I were sitting with you and you're shooting and we're chit-chatting, there are going to be images and I'm going to say, oh my God, that's who I am. That's right. Is my story. And I think it's really challenging to get those things without feeling a connection, at least for me. I mean, there's others that may not be that way.
So I was just going to say, certainly that a lot of women who are photographed many times, and I'm talking fashionistas, they say it's very different being photographed by me and other women as opposed to men.
Wow.
They actually say that, and I'm curious about the difference. And more often they say, you just see me. And so there is a sort of a sameness of being a woman, and I'm not looking for sexy provocative poses, and yet the images that sometimes come out are so sensuous. They're just amazing with it, you know, just about a connection of two women just, having conversation.
Yeah. You know? I think when you said you see me, that's where the magic is. And women, as women, because of who we are genetically, I mean, we can, most of us or many of us intuit it. I think in particular, creative individuals, we have this kind of empathic, I don't even know what you want to call it, sense. There is, I mean, it's the same thing like you were saying earlier about when you get the goosebumps when you get that picture. It's that sense. I mean, I can get that sense when I'm working with someone, whether it's photography and other things as well, sometimes that, okay, the connect, it's bingo, we've both connected.
I'm sure that you're the same too, but I know when I'm shooting, I can see the shot. Yeah. I can see it, and I'll jokingly say after, you know, maybe 10 shots, I said, that's it, we're done.
Yeah.
But, you know, I like to, you know, it can never be that short for me, because I just love connecting, and I love taking photographs, and I love being very visible about it. Although physically I'm invisible, that's the other interesting thing for me, is that I'm very invisible on Instagram, because all, you know, people are seeing are the women I photograph, and that's fine. That's absolutely fine. And, you know, I really, that's been a real revelation to me, that I'm okay about being that sort of invisible to the, you know, to the world.
And yet you aren't, because even though it's not an image of you, it's, and I think everybody, you have to look at Susie's Instagram. So you get a sense for what you value and what you are seeing, which of course tells us something about you, because all of us, you know, any photographer, we can all photograph the same person and we're going to see something completely different. Have you had any, I mean, who do you have favorite people, a story that you want to tell about a favorite photo shoot or something unexpected? Or, I mean, I'm sure they're all very special in their own way, so I don't mean to put you on the spot, but was there ever a moment where you said, oh, this was really something?
I tell you what was really something for me, and of course there are many. I'm just having a look at my pictures now, because you know it would be helpful for me to just reflect back on. But at some point, one of the women, Diana Gabriel, said to me, "Oh, you should have a get together, a party." I think, "Oh, really? Would anyone turn up?" I said to myself. And anyway, I thought, well, that's a really good idea. But I didn't want the expense of, you know, doing a cocktail hour, because, you know, alcohol is really expensive, and, you know, I am my father's daughter, being Miss Frugal. But so I decided to have an afternoon tea. And actually the picture on my Instagram page today is of that afternoon tea.
I saw that.
Which was taken by very, very good photographer Jane Feldman. And my really good friend, Artistic Lee, who is the ballerina, she does a lot of ballet, and I met her in Central Park. I think that the most amazing thing for me is that when I said, okay, I'm having this afternoon tea, and I would like, see, I'm really struggling to say the words, but I was, you know, I asked the women to pay something. Right. I think it was $35 for afternoon tea. And I was surprised that about 50 women showed. Oh my God, did I do that? You know, did I? So what does that say about the connection? You know, that was really, really profound, really profound to me. And I was amazed that these women, that they came. Yes, and I'm just looking through my pictures to see if there's one that I can tell of a story. Oh, so yes, there is.
Okay.
So I was in Denver 12 months ago with my other grandson, and we traveled cross country. And just to let you know that he's in the process of buying an apartment in Denver.
Oh, good.
So that's an upgrade from the other day when we were talking.
Great.
And I had this delightful woman called Terry Cox, who lives in Indianapolis. And so I put out this a post saying that I was looking for women of color. And she was one of the women of color who responded back to me. And she said, "Oh, such a shame you're not in Indianapolis." And I said, "Oh, wouldn't you know it? I'm going to be in Indianapolis in August." And we met up, and to photograph her, like with all of the women, it just gives me goosebumps as I'm talking about it now. But she was just electrifying and amazing and so calm and so funny and so creative, and we just had a blast. We went into places that we weren't really meant to go into. We went into construction sites that was all painted white, so it was perfect, you know.
So
it was really remarkable, and she is one of the women who gets most of my likes, actually.
The picture is extraordinary.
Yes.
It's really extraordinary.
I know that the women can't see that, but that's the one. Yeah,
striking, and the photograph is beautiful.
Yes. Right,
so do we have a book coming? Have you ever thought?
So many people have said that to me. Yes, and there's, you know, also Jane Feldman has been speaking to me about that this week, and my other very good friend Mary Frischman, the pro-aged woman on Instagram, has also said that to me, and I'm thinking, oh, wow, that's such a lot of work. But it may be. What, I think that my learning from Women 60 Plus is I started out doing the pictures. Mm-hmm. What I'm missing, and although I've got text from it, from an email that I sent out to all the women speaking about their aging, and I'm missing the text. So right. I'm working on that to get a bit more text out there, not right. too much, because who likes to read all that instead of just looking at pictures. But, you know, I think that women, what I'm noticing is wanting to know that you're not alone in what yep. you're feeling. Also, I certainly want to be seen by younger women to say, actually, you know, 60 plus is not so bad after all. Yes, we got aches and pains, and some days, as my mother would say, she feels like 100 and when she's only 90. But, you know, it's just I think it's in the uterus, you know, it's in the womb.
I love the idea. It's funny, I worked on a project many, many years. Oh boy, I don't even, it was before I moved here, so it would have been sometime around 2008 or 9. But a very good friend of mine is a photographer and actually has taught me a lot of what I know. Her name is Janet Walburst, and she was doing some work for a nonprofit, going in and taking pictures of children, well, young adults that are homeless. And I was brought in as the writer, and the collaboration, we put together a book that was beautiful. My job was to just tease out from these conversations a few key sentences, a few key quotes, and it was really moving. And I think if you were to do this book, which I would love to have on my card, along with just a few, it's such a powerful thing to bring together a group of women over 60 that are absolutely beautiful, and exactly like what you said, to be able to show that to younger women as well and say, you know, it really, all the things you're trying to avoid, it's really not as frightening as you think it is.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's so many wonderful experiences about lived experiences that enables sort of most of us, I'm pretty sure, with wisdom and insight, and for myself. And I often think that I remember when I was a preteen, I mean, didn't we all hate those years from 10 to 13?
Yeah.
And you're neither one nor the other. And actually, in the sort of pre-golden years, as I like to call it, you know, I'm trying to create something for myself in my golden years, whichever years they're going to be. I don't know, maybe it's after 65 or 70 or whatever it is. I don't know yet. Not there. But it's about finding my way, and hopefully that some other women are also trying to find their way, and sort of the collectiveness that you know, what we as individuals can bring together, can, there's some universality about, you know, the collective.
There is, and it's something too that I think the timing is ripe. These past few years for women. I know I have found it very inspiring to look at, you know, obviously a lot of public figures, and finding work like yours. It is very, when I found your work, what made me, because I, you know, when I started all the things I was doing, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to have an audience. What are people going to say? Because I met a fair amount of women who also said, you know, I don't understand what the big deal is. So what? You're getting older. Who cares? And I was like, okay, well, you probably aren't the person that's going to want to follow along. But on the other hand, I was like, well, you know, the truth of the matter is maybe I am the only person. And finding you, and then from there offshooting into other avenues, I was like, oh no, there are many of us artists out there that have something to say and that want to bring into the light other women that also have something to say. Mm-hmm. And that collective, in case you can't tell, I'm really advocating for the book.
I hear you, girl. I hear you.
Well, as we come to a close, this is like I could talk to you for days, and I will definitely be staying in touch with you. I just love your work. I have two questions. Well, one question before we conclude is that who are your favorite photographers? Do you have any?
Well, actually, when I was a kid, there was a traveling photographer, and his name is John Sprod. Sadly, he is no longer alive. But he, in the days of black and white photography and no cell phone photography, he would come around to all the farms in the region and photograph. I still have the books of that, and he'd give us. He gave my mother, and she gave them, some of them to me, of those images, and they're absolutely beautiful. He had an eye for composition, mm-hmm. and so he has to be one of my favorite photographers. And the other one is Annie Leibovitz, and I've been inspired by her, mm-hmm. and I want to look at her masterclass. There's a and I have I've got it. All I have to do is click the button. But now that I'm in New York, I'm out there busy taking pictures. So I have time for that yet.
You and I are so connected because I've got the same. I'm actually right now just finishing up a really in-depth Photoshop class, and it's
hard work.
It's really hard work. And then the other question is, I think I said your website wrong. It's Susie Lang Photo. Okay.
Correct.
Okay. I will make sure I correct that. And everyone who's listening, everything that we, all of the connections for Susie will be in the show notes. But my very last question, I like to give my subjects the last word. Is there anything that you want to add or something that you wanted to mention that maybe I just didn't ask you?
When I was young, I wanted to be a singer, and my mother said, "Oh no, you don't want to be a singer because that's not good money for that. You need to be a nurse." So I did the nursing, and I didn't last very long at that. Always having my camera with me was something that I was very passionate about. And one of my brothers, he said to me, "You should actually be a photographer." And so, kudos to him for seeing me before I could probably see myself. And what I've been inspired about was having the courage, absolute courage, to put out my first photographic website. I was scared because people would criticize me, and they may well do, and that's fine, but it was really important to me to put it out, and it was a first step. But I think that, if you have a passion, just to really tap into that, because, that we've got to fill ourselves up in life, because there's so much, I was going to say SH1T, but so much rubbish that goes on in life. We're worth the soothing, and we're worth the fulfillment, mm-hmm. So. I don't know if that answers the question.
That's a wonderful way to end, because I think that it's the truth when you have that passion, and it's your brother. I think that's something that I would love people to really take away, is how powerful it is when it's almost like we can give each other permission to be who we most want to be. And I think after 60, most of us are just, we're doing it no matter what. But younger, that means a lot. I wanted to be an English teacher, and I was told, "You'll never make money. There's too many teachers." So, all I wanted to do was write. And
And here you are.
And here I am. So, this has been so wonderful. I am so grateful for your time, Susie. I look forward to continuing to follow you, and I would like to encourage everybody who listened in on this conversation to go ahead and follow Susie. You can go on to her Instagram account at Women60+. You can also find her at SusieLangPhoto.com. Thank you, Susie.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's conversation. I'm always on the lookout for inspiring and fascinating women over 50 to spotlight on the Women Words Wisdom podcast. If you believe you or someone you know would be a great candidate, Please visit the podcast page of ourstoriestoday.com to learn more. You can find the link in the show notes.